Praise the Lord for those wonderful words of life. And if you would open your Bibles and we'll get started here this evening, we'll look at Mark chapter 14 as our text verse for this evening, and then we'll go throughout Scripture and looking at our enemy tonight. And if you didn't get a handout, we may have some more available. Hopefully you got them as you came in your prayer bulletin, and just a little half-page handout, Our Enemy, the Flesh. And we looked at the world. And now we look at the other part of the trio of trouble that we have to face, and that's our flesh. And we'll get started with that. Mark chapter 14, the Bible talks here about that. And as we look at it, Mark chapter 14, verse number 38. If you found your place there, you look at it, you'll see, watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And of course, this is when Christ is praying in Gethsemane. And the verse prior, Simon, sleepest thou? Because not thou watch 1 hour. Most all of us in this room, you remember the story. And the principle given there, or the thought given, that the spirit truly is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so as we look at that this evening, we look at our enemy, the flesh. Father, bless us now is our prayer. May this Bible study over the next 15, 20 minutes give us a good bit of ammunition, dear Lord. May we acknowledge the enemy. May we combat against him after we have some biblical ammunition. Lord, bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, as we go, as we often, almost always try to do, we're not just trying to give you more information. I want to give you information, but if you just have information and you don't have any application to it, then information just puffs you up. You just get to say, oh, I know more and more and more and more than so-and-so. And so it's nice to have information, but you also ought to know what to do with it. And somebody hands you a stick of dynamite, it's good to say, well, I probably should throw this. But if you don't ever apply that and throw it, then you're going to be in big trouble. So application is a very wonderful thing. And so as we look at this tonight, I'm not just telling you these things so you can have academic facts, but we've got a real enemy that we're fighting. As a matter of fact, we've got a trio of enemies, a trio of trouble, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And so here, as the Savior is telling the disciples, the spirit was willing, you're wanting to do the right thing, but the flesh is weak. And so you might as well admit it tonight. It doesn't matter how long you've been saved. It doesn't matter how long you've been trying to twist that flesh into submission. We all have trouble with the flesh. And what immediately, you don't have to answer this out loud, but what immediately comes to mind when somebody talks about the flesh? Well, to me, my mind, without even thinking, typically goes to the physical or the morally wrong things, meaning immorality or lust or sinful things in that vein. And that's certainly the flesh. But that's not all that it is. We understand that it's also, as we're going to look at it, we're going to identify them here in just a little bit. It's a host of other things. It's you counting on those, it's you relying or listening to those things that are against what the Spirit says to do. And so yes, it does fall into immorality and immoral things and the flesh and the actual flesh of a person and doing things that they ought not. And we'll get into that. But it's also much more than that. And so until we understand, like Romans chapter 7 verse 18 says, that in their flesh dwelleth no good thing. Until we understand that, we're going to be putting confidence in something that we ought not. Here's what many Christians do, I'm afraid. We think we've trained ourselves to the point that I've gotten myself to a spot where now I can trust that I'll do the right thing. Can I illustrate it in this way? A person, this was about a physical thing. Somebody was asking an older Christian. He was in his 70s, and he said, well, how long until you have to not worry about how old you have to be in the faith before those problems, whatever those problems were, don't bother you? And this mid-70-ish guy says, I don't know. You'll have to ask somebody older than me. So you don't outrun, you don't outlive the flesh. And so as we look at that, I will try to get us to understand tonight before we leave, that until we get to the spot where we realize that there's nothing there to count on, until we get to that spot, we're setting ourselves up for disaster. The Bible says that in my flesh there dwelleth no good thing. You're in wherever you are. Look in Romans chapter 8, if you would. And this is going to fill in a blank if you're one that likes to fill in blanks in your introduction. Romans chapter 8. And I want you to see how wrong your flesh is. You know, when some things, it's not the best idea. Other things, like, well, that's really off base. Look, if you would, in Romans chapter 8, verse number 7. We see here that the Bible puts us at enmity or in an enemy category against God, because the carnal mind, that carnal mind that's based on or obeying, listening to the flesh, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And so as long as we think that I've been saved so long, I've got myself in this rote routine, this tradition, that I think I'm going to be okay. The verses would come to mind, let a man that think he standeth take heed lest he fall. There's lots of people, much better preachers than I, that have preached to bigger crowds than I, that now they won't be invited back to church because they have truly fallen to the lust of the physical flesh. And then there's a lot more that are involved in other things that just haven't got them kicked out of the position yet, but probably should. My point in saying that is, doesn't matter whether you're a preacher, doesn't matter whether you're a deacon, whether you're a Sunday school teacher, you've been saved for years, you grew up in church, you grew up in a faith family, whatever it is. My friend, if you ever start putting confidence in the flesh, you're putting your confidence in something that will not support you. Now, you may live and go on for a little while without that horrible fall or that stumble that all of us know all too well, but you'll still not be pleasing the Lord. There's been a lot of folks that continue on for a long time, albeit inside they are truly displeasing the Lord. So I'm looking tonight at our enemy, the flesh. You again don't have to answer this, but how many of us, you know somebody who's always habitually late? You said, Pastor, don't know her. I brought her with me tonight. Now that person, hopefully you've got to a place where it's a little bit of a joke, and or at least it's painful, but you laugh. But that person can't be relied upon. Or maybe they can be relied upon. You can count on never being on time. Maybe that's the way it is. You know the one. You tell them that the meeting is really at 6 when it's not till 7. But that way, when they're only a half hour late, they'll be a half hour early. Well, that person's not dependable. You can't rely on them. And my friend, you do well when you understand that certain things can't be relied on. And whenever we put confidence in the flesh, and it sneaks up on all of us. Why does it sneak up on all of us? Because we get in the habit of doing things the same way. We get in the habit of treating people the same way. We get in the habit of doing things. Even get in the habit of reading our Bible. We get in the habit of doing these spiritual things. And then if we're not careful, we get doing them so well that we think we can go on and do them without the help of the Holy One. And we start relying on our flesh. So a passage in the book of Proverbs where it talks about that, he just gives this analogy that putting confidence in the wrong things, like putting confidence in a foot that's out of joint, won't hold you up. It's not talking about the flesh necessarily, but that's about the same idea. And so we understand that our enemy, the flesh, it can't be depended on. And then worse than that, it's enmity against God. It means you're on the wrong team. If you always want all of your college paraphernalia to have bright orange on it, then anything that doesn't have a bright orange or a big T, you say that's the wrong team. Well, it's worse than that. When we put confidence in our flesh, the Bible says we are at enmity against God. Why? Because so then that they that are in the flesh, they're obeying that human nature. We can't please God in that capacity. So let's look at it here tonight. Number one, we see the works of the flesh identified. Look, if you will, turn over to Galatians chapter 5. We've got a big long list here that we're going to work our way through. We'll get this done tonight. We won't take time for each one of them. We'll just hit them running. But we see the works of the flesh identified. Galatians 5:19. Are you there? Galatians 5, verse number 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Just in case you say, well, what are these works of the flesh? Well, I'm glad you asked. Look at verse number 19. Which are these? Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, means they're brought out into the open. They're drug out where everybody can see them. They're made plain. And these are those works of the flesh, adultery. Well, you say, well, I thought you said it wasn't just the sins of the physical flesh. Well, I didn't say it wasn't those. I said it wasn't only those. Adultery, of course, we know what that is. Outside of the bonds of the marriage vows, we see adultery, fornication, just living used to be in our nation. We knew that for this great gospel truth, first comes love, then comes marriage, then comes so and so with a baby carriage. You understand the progression was supposed to always be that way, but fornication. And so we understand that the works of the flesh are these, adultery, fornication, because our world sees no need to stay in those holy bonds of keeping ourselves pure and keeping ourselves right until the marriage bed is allowing those things that married people are supposed to enjoy. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, which is just another word for impurity, lasciviousness, which is just wanton lust and desire in a physical sense. And so we see all of those things that are identified here as the works of the flesh. But then it goes on in verse number 20, idolatry, plainly the worship of idols, or putting something as a god, little g, that you're bowing to, or putting something ahead of God. Witchcraft, which of course sorcery, enchantments, and hatred, of course what we know, hate and enmity, and variance, having a great difference between one another that we just dispute so much that we get hateful one another. Emulations, which is an old English old word for jealousies, wrath. We understand that's not only anger, just ratchet anger up a few notches, and that's when you get wrath, violent anger, strife, bitter conflict between individuals, seditions, which are just people divided. It seems like everybody wants to, they hear somebody say something, and you notice this even in small little things. You ever notice that person that always wants to get their jab in? You know, it's going to be, you know, the weather's going to be like this. Well, not always. You know, they just can't let anything slide. Now, that's not sinful in and of itself, but it is indicative of the way we are in our flesh. We like to divide. You think that's not true? Why'd you pass 14 churches to get here? You're like that one fella. He lived on Desert Island. He was the only one there. And they finally rescued him, and he wanted to show so much. He was so proud of his worship, his church, his worship space. He's the only one. He was the preacher. He was the member. He was the only thing. He showed those guys that rescued him in that helicopter. And I said, oh, he said, what is this? He said, oh, this is my church. This is where I worship God. This is all I get to have my spiritual experience here. He said, oh, that's good. He said, now you're the only one on the island. The only one on the island. He said, oh, good. He said, now what's that building over there? He said, well, that's where I used to go to church. So we like to divide. And so the Word of God says here, there's strife, there's variance, there's emulations, there's all of these things that come up, jealousies and heresy, fundamental major errors in your religion or your teaching. And so all of these are the works of the flesh. And then it goes on, verse 21 gives you another big bunch of them. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings. And most all those we know, the revelings would be to feast with just loose and immoral living, those revelings. And so all of these put forth, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, I'm in verse 21, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And so we see that these works of the flesh, they're just called out. You know the sad thing in our culture right now? Is that even things that make this big list right there, we still try to excuse some of those. You say, how would you excuse some of those? Well, let's just take a couple of them. Strife. We don't call it strife. That's bitter conflict. We don't call it that. So, no, I'm contending for the faith. Well, many of the preachers, Christians, let's forget about preachers. Don't pick on those. I don't like to do that. There's Christians that I see. We're not contending for the faith. We're just contentious people. And I am putting all myself, a lot of the preacher friends, they're just unkind. And so we understand what that strife is, those conflicts back and forth. And some of the people that I see arguing one against another, I say, listen, there's not enough difference in the two of you to even recognize if I didn't know as much as I know about the situation. But you understand strife is in there. Emulations, which means jealousy. When do you think the last time you noticed a Christian being jealous of somebody else? I mean, Larry Stover's got a Corvette, and I've always wanted one. I hated to let that one go. It's really been on my heart for a long time. It feels good. They say confession's good for the soul. What? How long has it been since you saw some Christian jealous of another person? I told you the other night, I think everything that goes on in church is important, except for the gossip in the hallways, but everything else as far as classes and nurseries and junior churches and teen class, it's all important. But I've spent my ministry life hearing people put some snide comments about that something going on in the auditorium is more important than what's going on over there. It's all important. And so how long has it been since you had somebody that the Christian folk in church were dabbling in the flesh of emulations or jealousies one against another? So the works of the flesh, God just calls them out here. That we see them identified. But I want you to turn, you're in Galatians, I'm going to run out of time here. Look back in Romans chapter 7 if you would. Romans chapter 7, not only do we see that God calls them out, identifies them, and so as the old saying goes, if the shoe fits, we ought to wear it. But let's look at Romans chapter number 7, and God just gives a little examination of them. We see them examined. Romans chapter 7, and when you get to this passage, you'll recognize it. Even if you don't know, you will. When you get there, you'll know it because you've heard it alluded to again and again. The works of the flesh examined, Romans chapter 7, verse number 15. These verses where your words all get tangled up, but you know exactly what the Word of God's talking about. For that which I, verse 15, Romans 7, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For if I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, for the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. We'll stop right there because we know how it goes there. The flesh leads us to do what we shouldn't do. Don't you often stop and ask yourself, say, oh, why did I do that? I don't mean you forgot to get milk at the store when you came. Oh, I didn't forget that. That's just forgetfulness. Take ginkgo biloba or one of those herbs or something. I don't know what that one commercial said. Take something for it. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when you got mad and you spouted off at somebody. And then I always tell my family when I have to go back and apologize for saying something unkind. I said, you know, I apologize. I try to do what I practice, what I preach, and just say, I'm sorry. But I always think afterwards that I usually always have the right response to a situation 5 minutes too late. And there's a little bit of humor in there, but there's more truth than humor. Somebody comes up and says something, even if it's unkind or even if it's true, whatever it is, truthful or constructive criticism, destructive criticism, whatever it is, I usually have the right response, but I think of it too late. My flesh is quick on the draw. I've got a quick tongue, and it's sarcastic, and too many times I let it go. And so we understand what the Word of God is saying. Those things I don't want to do, that's what I find myself doing. And those things I know I shouldn't do, before you know it, I'm lacing her out about something. Before you know it, I'm letting him have it about this. And so we understand that the flesh leads us to do those things that we should not do. And then the flesh keeps me from doing those things keeps me from doing what I should do. Verses 19 down to 21. You used to see those buttons back years ago, some decades ago. There was some button from some show, I believe it was, that the devil made me do it. Sometimes we give the devil too much credit. A lot of times just your old stinking flesh. Don't hug the sheets till the snooze button's hit 20 times and then say, man, the devil kept me in bed. Devil didn't keep you in bed. Your flesh kept you in bed. Devil was doing something else. He didn't need to. The flesh took care of you. He didn't need to take care of you on that one. And so we understand that the flesh gets us. So we see that the flesh leads us to do what we shouldn't do, keeps me from doing what I should do, and all of it is contrary to the Spirit. I've got you the wrong address. I said Romans chapter 7, but you need to turn back to Galatians rather. On your sheet it says Romans. It should say Galatians. I made a mistake on that. So look at Galatians chapter 7 again. You were there once. So Galatians chapter 7. I want you to see here that the flesh always works contrary to the Spirit, the capital S, the Spirit of God. Because right after the works of the flesh are highlighted in verse number 19, 20, 21, that's a big long list that we already went through. But 22 says, but. Like the old preacher said, isn't it wonderful when God butts in? That's what the flesh does. But the fruit of the Spirit, capital S, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The flesh always works contrary to the Spirit. All those in that list, we know what they are. Meekness, we know what that is. Temperance, the only one you may have trouble with, that's just basically an old English word for moderation. It's a temperance, just being temperate in things. Moderation. So we know what joy is. Love, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. And all those are contrary to what's up into the three verses, because there's a stark contrast between what my flesh wants me to do and what the Holy Spirit wants me to do. I hesitate to give the old illustration because it's been given so much, but you've heard of that missionary that saw somebody saved and came back later and asked him how it was doing, and he said, it feels like there's two dogs inside of me, a black one and a white one, and they're fighting one against the other. And then he went on to tell the missionary after he asked which one was winning, he said, well, it seems to be determined by which one I feed the most. And so, my friend, we all have that flesh that's working against us. You're never going to get out of this until this robe of flesh, I drop and rise and rise to gain the everlasting prize, however that song goes. You will never get rid of the flesh until the Lord comes and gets us through death or the rapture. Get used to it. You don't have to like it. But you ought to always be on guard against it. But the flesh is there, and the flesh is always going to work contrary to the Spirit. I want to give you this last one that is now the solution to the flesh. You're in Galatians, so I'll do it backwards. Letter B says this, that you ought to walk in the Spirit. Galatians, turn back a page to chapter 5, verse number 16. You ought to walk in the Spirit, Galatians 5, 16. This I say then, this is to believers, this is to us, this is to Christians, people who are saved. Everybody who's saved, the Holy Spirit lives within you, you have access, He lives within you, He's there. You have access to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. You say, Brother John, I don't even know what you're talking about. I'm just saying that you're giving the reins of your life over to Him to say, Lord, you've got to show me what to do. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. And this promise is given, when you do walk in the Spirit, capital S, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. God, as He often does, gives us a little supporting evidence or supporting thoughts about it. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. So we understand that there's always going to be that battle. But if you want victory, this is not a one and done. This is not a check mark. You say, okay, I've done that, now I can go do something else. This is a one and done for the next, you know, those really bad car lots. You know, they say they have like a taillight guarantee. You got a guarantee so I can't see your taillights no more. This is a guarantee. This is almost as good as about that long. You walk in the Spirit, and that's about as good until the next issue hits you. I'm just being as real as I can be. Because you think we got the victory, we're walking in the flesh, we're walking in the Spirit, and then if you're not careful, that old flesh sneaks right back up on you. And sometimes it sneaks up on you because you thought you did such a good job handling the last situation. I did do pretty good on that, didn't I? I am a good conflict resolver, resolution person. So we understand that the secret, if it is, it's not a secret, but the solution to the flesh is to walk in the Spirit. That sounds so easy, but it's not as easy as it sounds. It's easy to say, it's hard to live. So we understand that we walk in the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, verse number 16. And then the first point, I remember I told you it's backwards, letter A underneath that point, if you're looking, is back in Romans, turn left in your Bible a little while, Romans chapter 6. We'll close it with this. The Bible says here, lastly, you walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh, and that's the solution. He says if you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill those other lusts. But then also you need to keep this in mind. You should keep this in mind. Romans chapter 6, verse number 11. Likewise, reckon, that means, like the old boy said, I reckon we're going over there in a little bit. That just means to just conclude or just settle it. Reckon ye yourselves, also yourselves, to be dead indeed unto sin. Look back up in verse number 2 of that same passage. But God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? You understand? It's an understood thing. When we got saved and the Holy Spirit came within us, we weren't supposed to live in the sins that typified us before we got saved. And this is a phenomenon that's against Scripture when we have Christians who are just living as sinful and worldly as they can and just living under the chastisement of the Holy Spirit. God says we're not supposed to live in that way if we are, God forbid, he even says in verse 2, how shall we, that if we're dead to sin, how will we live any longer in those things? Well, that's a question for another message, but look again down in verse number 11 again, where I jumped off at. You be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts, the desires, the lusts thereof. So the solution to the flesh is to remember that the power of sin was nullified or done away with, or whatever you want to put in that blank, nullified by Jesus' sacrifice. If I live in the power of the flesh, I live under the control of my flesh. I let my flesh control me. I'm living way below my potential. What I mean by that is, I don't have to live down there. I might. I have. So have all of you. But we don't have to. Because I could remind myself that the power of that flesh was nullified by the work of Christ on the cross. Now, if I choose to wallow my life around in that flesh, that's me living way below. That's low living for a high, supposed to be somebody who's got a high living life. So we understand that the solution to the flesh is remember that I don't have to live in it. And then remember that the only way not to live in it is to choose to walk in the Spirit. It's like you can't kick it in neutral and just let her coast. You got to walk in the Spirit actively, positively, aggressively, so to speak, maybe. Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know how when your computer has you got it messed up and you just got to put it back to old factory reset? Well, it seems like, if we're not careful, if you just let it coast and you go the natural, not the supernatural, but the natural way, that we kind of get relying too much on the flesh. So the Bible says, walk in the Spirit, and so you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So our trio of trouble, the world, the flesh, the devil, we looked at the world, we looked at the flesh, and we'll be doing something different next week, but we'll look at the devil here soon. But our flesh always targets us. As soon as you turn your back, that old flesh, he's right there. And the way to live contrary to that is given in that third point, the solution to it. Walk in the Spirit. Remember, you don't have to live like that. Walk in the Spirit. Father, bless us now is our prayer. I pray we'd have a host of people who would walk in the Spirit. Lord, it's on a Wednesday night. We're Bible studying it. But I pray if there's somebody here tonight or somebody watching, even though this was a Bible study predominantly for Christians, but they're having so much trouble in defeated living that they know they need Christ. Lord, I pray if there's somebody listening tonight, watching online or listening in this auditorium, that they are unsaved and they wonder why they can't have any victory in life. They just keep on falling down in the same things, down in the same things. It's more than just living a defeated Christian life, dear Lord. You've convicted them tonight. They're not even saved. Lord, if that's them, I pray that you would save them tonight. Folks, if you're listening or watching or you're here, you're not sure you're saved, would you please do business with the Lord and get saved tonight. I'll be here at the end of the service. If you're watching online, our number should be popping up that you can call, and we would love to share with you the truth of the gospel, how you can be saved. Father, bless us now is our prayer. May every Christian be strengthened tonight. May all of us commit to live and walk in the Spirit so we would not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then, dear Lord, when we fall in the flesh, may we quickly get it confessed and walk in the Spirit and live that way in Jesus' name. If you're able to, would you stand together as the ladies play something through? And if God spoke to your heart, I invite you to come. You can do business with the Lord in your seat. You can do business with the Lord here at the altar, one of the front pews. But my friend, living in the flesh is crippling us as Christians. We're powerless. We're worldly, fleshly. And I believe God wants to, I know, He wants to raise up some folks that walk in the Spirit. As they play through a verse or two, and if God's dealing with your heart, why don't you just do holy business with Him right there? If you're watching online, why don't you do business with Him right there at your seat, your couch, or wherever you're at? Just confess whatever's in your life that's wrong right now. You've been walking in the flesh. Confess it to the Lord. He already knows. And then commit to say, Lord, I want to walk in the Spirit. I want to walk according to Your Word. I want to walk according to Your Spirit. I want You to lead me, guide me, so that I would not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Thank you so much. You can look this way. And we're going to close in prayer tonight. I'm going to ask Brother Jeff Roten, if he didn't mind, one of the deacons here at the church, to come and pray for our revival. I didn't mention it, I don't think, in the announcement time, but it's coming upon us March 14th, 16th, and 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th, Sunday through Wednesday. Tom Farrell will be here. I want all of us to be praying daily, if you could think of it, maybe write it down, to remember to pray that the Lord would do a revival at Buffalo Ridge. God would do a revival in your heart, and that we'd just see Him do many, many things. Don't forget that Wednesday night will be a prophecy night, and many, many folks that are unsaved are interested enough in the end times. Farrell's going to do a great job. He always presents a very thorough message, and Brother Farrell. So I want you to invite some folks to come for that. And then on Sunday, it'll be Friend Day. He'll preach both the 8:30 and the 11 o'clock service. And so maybe some folks that we don't pressure folks to come if they're church members that aren't comfortable yet. But maybe you know somebody's that just hadn't been out, they haven't been in church for not those reasons, other reasons. And you can nudge them and say, hey, why don't you come Friend Day, be here. Or maybe it's some neighbor or whatnot that you can have. So I'm going to ask Brother Jeff to come and pray for us. And then when he's done, we'll be dismissed. And the ushers are at the back with the offering bucks. You can drop your offering in on your way out. But thank you for being in church tonight. What a joy it is just to gather together. Thank God you have the health to be here. And thank God you have the desire to be here. Thank God you have the wherewithal to be here. And so God's very good to us. Brother Jeff, why don't you pray for us?
Okay. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank You for today. God, we thank You for our church. We thank You for our pastor. Lord, we thank You for this message. Lord, to help us, each one of us as individuals, never to put confidence in our flesh, confidence in this world, but help us to put our trust in You. Help us to love You more, and help us to seek You through coming to church, reading Your Word. And Lord, we just thank You so much for how good You are to each one of us. And God, we do pray for the revival that's coming up. We pray for Brother Farrell, that You give him safety, that You just help him as he prepares the messages. And Lord, we just pray that You would prepare us as a church, that we would be getting ready for Brother Tom to come, and that we would be We would expect to hear from you, not from Brother Farrell, but from you. And Lord, we just pray that you'd help us to go out and to each one of us probably know someone that we can invite. Lord, that we can invite them out one night of the revival. And Lord, we just pray for those people that you'd prepare our hearts, that you the ones that might come and the ones that are members here, that you just prepare hearts to speak to us, people that might come in that's not saved. Lord, we just pray that you prepare that heart where they would be able to accept you as Savior. And Lord, we just thank you for all that you're going to do. And again, we thank you for how good you are to us. I do want to pray for Mickey Archer. He's been on my mind, and I just want to pray for Mickey. And I just thank you so much for Mickey and what he's meant to each one of us at this church. And God, we just pray for him that your presence would go with him tonight and just be with him tonight. And we pray for Tiffany as she's lost her grandfather. Lord, we just pray that you be with her. And we thank you for all that you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Christ and Christ.